November the 5th is getting closer and closer. We need to be preparing. How do you prepare? Get your sample ballot. Get your sample ballot. Your precinct committeeman will usually distribute that, and do some homework. You can use iVoterGuide.com for federal and statewide offices. On judges and amendments, it's harder. I would suggest you look in your state for a family institute or a family policy council. Usually they have voter guides and they'll help you with more local races. But also, you can do a lot. All you have to do is search the judge's name, the candidate's name, and you can find out who's supporting them, who's giving them money. What is their past like? What did they do for work? Just look for clues in the bios, even on their website, or even, you know, Wikipedia gets some things right occasionally. You can find out a lot about people by just searching their name. So do your homework. Please don't go into the voting booth and leave half the boxes blank. Just don't do that. Everything is important. Amendments change your constitution. As an Amendment 4 in Florida on abortion, abortion will be legal for all 9 months. It will be in the constitution, almost impossible to change. And you probably have amendments like that in your ballot too. So don't be lazy. You can find this stuff. If you don't know how to look on the internet, then ask your kids, ask your neighbors, but be diligent. Go in there with that sample ballot, armed and ready to vote, and check every single box intelligently and not just guessing. All right, November 5th is coming up, and I'll see you at the poll.
Voting is our capability to have a peaceful transfer of power. If you don't have that, the alternatives are revolutions.
We call them voting machines, but they're nothing more than obsolete computers.
2002 is when they put them in service.
A commonly used argument, they are never connected to internet.
No voting machines are connected to the internet.
Not connected to the internet.
Not connected to the internet, and therefore cannot be attacked.
Oh, it wants to go to internet. That's very nice.
In 2016, we know that Russian actors targeted state election systems.
When people say no votes were changed, it misses the point.
Imagine you go in and flip the digits of everybody's address.
When you prevent people from casting a ballot, you've hacked an election.
Hackers are a wonderful resource. Every voting machine in this room is in use in next election. We are here 3 days a year. The real adversaries, they run it 24/7 with massive funding.
We are in.
Hari takes it personally when people do stupid things with technology.
What do you think the security pin is?
They upgrade to 11111. That was not a joke.
We may be buying the world's best 20th century military when the battlefront is election security.
I had full access. I could have changed any vote.
It's called a kill chain. Weaponization, paralyzation. When the governments cannot take action, that's when you'll finish the target.
Well, that amazing documentary was produced by HBO right after the 2016 election. It's amazing. They talk through all the ways that voting machines can be corrupted. They talk about how they're actually connected to the internet. Does any of this sound like, oh, gee, I've heard of that? Well, it's because after the 2020 election, the Democrats completely switched their course and made fools of anyone who said there was a problem with the voting machines. Sidney Powell was one of the first people that came out and said there's a problem with the voting machines. They're connected to the internet. They have the ability to change votes. And that she has been pretty much thoroughly, professionally derided and destroyed. She's not the only one. We've had a lot of people speaking up about voting machines, and every time they either get sued by Dominion voting machines, sued into submission. That happened with the networks. It happened with Newsmax. It happened with Fox. You dare even hint, this is like defamation of a great company, to say that there's a problem with the voting machines. And yet, the Democrats after 2016, because President Trump beat Hillary Clinton in such a shock upset, they came out with their own documentary inferring that, of course, the reason Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump is because Republicans messed with the voting machines. So that makes the discussion we're going to have today pretty interesting. Dr. David Clements will be our guest. Now, he's a former professor from the University of New Mexico, law professor, a man of great distinction, who initially met in the crosshairs of, you know, telling the truth over the COVID situation. And he lost his job as a result of speaking the truth, refusing to take the vaccine, just refusing to fall into line with other professors at the university and around the country, for that matter, and around the world, for that matter. He's a man of great courage, and we had a chance to talk to him in Texas at the Film Fest, which, by the way, is still all those films. His film was called The 2020 Election, and it traces what actually happened in that election, primarily centered around these voting machines, because he's a brilliant guy, and so he is able to lay this out very, very clearly. Well, we talk about more than that in this discussion, but I don't think you're going to want to miss today's show. Well, the left is zealous for the blood of babies, going as far as supporting free abortions at the DNC. You remember that? Kamala's extreme radical stance for abortion is evidence in her running mate. As First Things reported, Tim Walz supports the right to infanticide. Infanticide is the taking of a baby's life after birth. It's insanity. The media has dubbed this as the abortion election. We have to stand up to this evil. And when you join forces with Preborn, the largest pro-life organization in the nation, you are protecting the greatest victims in our society, babies in their mom's wombs. Preborn network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas in the nation, and they have rescued over 300,000 babies. When a woman considering abortion searches to end her baby's life, Preborn is there. The power of the ultrasound combined with God's love doubles a chance for the baby's life. One ultrasound is just $28 and five ultrasounds, $140. Just give as generously as you can. We've talked about it every day I've been on this podcast. And I hope that you'll continue giving. And maybe some of you are new and have never contributed. But if you know, this pricks your conscience and you want to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right. This is a good one. So sit back and enjoy this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
New Mexico State University professor who publicly opposed campus vaccine and mask mandates is now out of a job. The Las Cruces Sun News reports David Clement, seen here, a business college professor, posted on his social media account on the Telegram platform that he had been, quote, terminated. The university confirmed today that Clements was no longer employed by NMSU. The professor had been suspended since August over public comments that he would not abide by any COVID-19 vaccine or mask mandate. The provost recommended Clements be fired during a meeting last week. Clements had argued masking and vaccine policies are illegal.
This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7, and we are still at this beautiful Texas theater. It's really indescribable. I mean, it's so elegant, and it's the middle of Greenville, Texas, downtown, which is kind of, I think, from just a glance, kind of an impoverished. The town is a little bit run down, and this is just an amazing jewel in the middle of the town. I'm sure the town was once great. I wish I knew its history, but we're down here for this film festival that I've been telling you about for the last couple of weeks and asking you to sign up in heaven. Now that I've seen some of these movies, you have to do it. $25 and you can see all 10 films at your leisure. And trust me, your life will be changed by these movies, and certainly your way of thinking about what's going on. So David Clements is with me. I actually just saw the credits of his movie. That's the honest way, because I came in, because I'm doing interviews here in the lobby. But The subject is something that's dear to my heart because those of you that listen to me on the morning show or in the podcast know that the 2020 election is a very big deal. And I've never equivocated. I've never equivocated talking about anything controversial, especially machines. All of it. All of it. We've talked about it. And so there's a lot of doubt still about the machines. I don't know why. I think it's more fear of Dominion and the other Smartmatic and whoever else is still out there. But we're getting ready for an election. And if we can't have an honest discussion about the machines, about voter fraud and what we might be facing and how we need to fight it, then something's really, we've not accomplished very much if we can't do that. And if we can't talk about it at the 1A First Amendment Film Fest, then we are in trouble. David Clements is a former law professor from the University of Mexico. He's also a former prosecutor. That means, of course, an attorney. And that's a little bit of his background. You've probably seen him or heard of him. I bet you're at these big events that happen around the country. I don't even know what they're called. These where lots of people come, and there's a whole. That's not in my orbit either. Not that it wouldn't be. I just hasn't. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I get around.
Yeah, so, you get around. Okay, so
yeah, I mean, where people see me, it seems to change. My first introduction to a pretty big audience was on Tucker Carlson.
Okay,
and it wasn't election related per se. It was. It was jab related because I was teaching consumer protection law at the business college, and I couldn't in good conscience tell my students that this was okay when I'm a subject matter expert on informed consent and I know how these things work. So I looked at the VAERS data. And so,
are you talking about COVID?
COVID, yeah. So yeah. Even before we got to elections, I get on Tucker's, and if you go on Tucker Carlson's show, like, if you weren't known, my phone rattled for like 3 days straight from text. So whether it's there or going on War Room with Steve Bannon a few times, and you know, and I travel a lot, so I've given hundreds and hundreds of evidentiary presentations on mostly the machines and the elections. But yeah, I've got a little bit of a hit list.
Oh, you're a man after my own heart. I'm on that same hit list, I think. But during COVID, as my understanding, and this is, again, very surface, that you lost your job over the COVID issue.
Yeah, so
What naughty thing did you do?
Well, I knew what I was talking about. Again, I used to teach employment law, business law, mm-hmm. consumer protection. And so my job was to teach students how to hold the government accountable when they ran afoul of the law. And so what I saw was a massive deviation from following Nuremberg Code, Constitution, state constitution, federal law. You know, telling people that they're safer by wearing an experimental device, even the masks were considered experimental under the law. And if you're telling them that their risk is mitigated and you know that's not true, that's actually a deceptive practice. That violates federal law. So as a lawyer, I'm in the classroom and I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, I don't care about what your policy or your rule or regulation says. If it counters the federal law or the state law, I'm not going to teach them that. So that put me in this really, really tough spot. And I did my best to kind of maintain employment, but I knew the gig was going to be up eventually. So the day after I was awarded with the highest teaching award that my college offers, I was suspended. And then 2 months later, I had a termination hearing where they didn't refute one legal argument at all, but they had to get rid of me. So, yeah.
You know, that reminds me of this. You know, I know I'm sure you're familiar because we haven't even said that you're a believer. That's a huge part of your inspiration, and we share that. It reminds me of the story of Martin Niemöller during Nazi Germany, when he was a famous World War I pilot, a hero to the Germans in World War I, and he became a pastor. And they put him in prison because he opposed Hitler, and a ton of pastors, or half a dozen pastors, came to see him in prison, and they said to him, Martin, what are you doing behind bars, a man of your reputation? And he said, well, no, the question isn't why am I here? The question is, why aren't you? So my question is, David, why, you know, it's shocking to me how many people refuse to do what you did. And not in just your university, nationwide. This intimidation, this bowing the knee to a falsehood. Didn't that shock you too? It's like, where is everybody?
Yeah, well, it's disappointing. I don't know if it shocked me so much as I think God has prepared me over my lifetime to, one, witness courageous martyrs throughout history, and they've always inspired me. So the story of William Wilberforce, inspiring. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, inspiring. And I would always think about, man, how would I act if I was confronted with difficult decisions? And for me, the question was, would you rather be judged by your colleagues or would you rather be judged by history? And for me, I was far more scared of missing out on this opportunity to do the right thing and go along with the crowd and sit there and, you know, just kick myself. How could I have taken the easy path? And I think this is where the world's wisdom is different than a believer's wisdom. The world's wisdom is all about self-preservation. Keep on to that pension. Hold on to your job.
You got a family. What are you thinking?
Yeah, you can do more good if you just work from the inside.
That's
right?
The theme of senators and congressmen everywhere. Yeah. I'll just compromise on this one thing because I'll be able to do such good if I. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've seen it. I don't have any patience for it. And then at some point I just said, look, I'm going to choose God's wisdom, which isn't self-preservation. It's actually the exact opposite. It's the cross. It's about modeling Christ. And what did Christ do? He sacrificed himself out of love for, you know, his family. And so that's been my walk. My wife's a very strong believer. I've got three lovely children. And I just, if I go out and I'm taken down by the university or deep state, whatever, I'm going to do it with my head held high, and that's all there is to it.
You know, it's so counter our culture. And since you mentioned martyrs, I was thinking of Fox's Book of Martyrs. I read it a long time ago. I have a paperback dog-eared from studying it a long time ago, but there's a story in there about a 7-year-old boy. There was one of the martyrs, I don't know which one, was being, you know, railed for not recanting, not confessing to whatever thing they wanted him to confess, and they were torturing him, and there was a little 7-year-old boy in the crowd, and one of the torturers, you know, as a church person, church leader, so-called church, saw the little boy and he called him out and said, do you believe this, basically? And the little boy, his little voice said, yes, you know, he believed. And they took the little boy and they started torturing him, and they actually skinned him alive. Mm. But here's the thing I'm getting to, David. In this story, the mother's on the front row. And she said to her son, she said, her little boy, she said, son, don't recant. Don't recant. Don't recant. Don't give up. Don't give up. And they killed him. And she took the bait, took him in her apron and folded him in that. And that was the end. My point is that's so counterculture.
Yeah.
We want self-preservation at all costs. We don't even want to lose a job. We don't want to... You know, I'm as spoiled as anyone in our culture. But it's just amazing. This should be normal Christian living. What you're talking about should be normal.
Well, the things that make my heart go flutter is the cross. I mean, if you become a Christian, it's because whatever Christ did was so beautiful that it was worthy of you saying, I submit to that. And that's Christianity and all of its boldness and beauty is all the stuff that we've been kind of beaten down on. Don't believe in miracles. Don't believe in all these things. Don't believe that God's
the real
sovereign.
Power. The power of God.
The real power.
Yeah.
And that's the modern day church. It's basically a self-help course where you take little lessons from Christ, but you don't see him as the guy that died for you, died for me. And your example is actually very reminiscent of a book written by Richard Wurmbrand, who is the founder of the Voice of the Martyrs, In God's Underground. He also did Tortured for Christ, which is amazing. But In God's Underground might be the most powerful book I've ever read. And while I was going through my own version of martyrdom on a much more superficial level, okay, lost my job, you know, been slandered, and you know, I've been physically accosted, I've been threatened. But reading his book really puts into perspective what real martyrdom looks like. And those stories that you just mentioned, like the choice of the mother, you know, there was a story written about where they threw scalding hot water on their children. And the ones that maintained the truth, they aligned with truth no matter what, they did not yield to the lie. It makes you wonder, how are they wired that way? And the only way that you can be wired that way is if you have an eternal perspective, which means like this life ain't it. And if you remember that this life ain't it, then you can act like that.
I guess I believe, and I bet you do too, I'm praying now. I pray all the time. Not all the time. It's my constant attitude of prayer that I want to be able to, whatever, if that knock comes at my door, the FBI comes to visit me, or if I'm put in a position that I can just, I want to be faithful. I pray that now. I've prayed it for years. I've done a lot of travel. I was in China with a lot of persecuted countries. I was in North Korea. And I've seen a lot of suffering and a lot of people that are suffering. And I've seen the best of the best, you know, the boldness, you know, in the spite of the culture. I want to be like that when I grow up. I want to be that way, faithful to the end. So I pray now. So we're just practicing. This is practice, David.
Yeah.
Well, all right, let's get down to the story. Because I think the reason I know your name is because probably through COVID. Because I think you came out, I'm sure I saw so many videos and was following all of them. Because I'm speaking out about it.
Yeah.
But we're not going to go into that. You did lose your job over that, but let's go into what this movie is about, which is the 2020 election. And because you are a law professor, a former prosecutor, but still, how did that draw you into the election and the malfeasance that I would say malfeasance?
Well, I mean, it's a great segue because when I saw that you had doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough and Robert Malone, I'm like, oh, I can't do what they do better than they do. So I'm like, okay, I need to find a lane of advocacy. Because there was a time, 2021, I was covering elections, COVID, everything.
Yeah.
But I'm like, they've got this. And the one area that wasn't being covered in elections in particular was the machines. And I'm sitting there going, any business owner, anyone that's ever kept books, like, why is it that we can talk about the importance of software and all of the advantages that technology has to offer. But when it comes to elections, it's like everyone in this movement, I call them Conservative Inc., have blinders on. And so that raises two questions. You either have blinders on because you're a third railer. You're basically creating limited hangouts to reorient people to talk about elections in an incorrect way so we don't solve the problem. Or you're just scared of getting sued. And out of the two, the latter is actually more agreeable for me. But I question a lot of people that have huge platforms aren't canceled.
Yes.
And yet they are purposely deceiving the American people.
Yes, I know that firsthand.
Yeah.
And they won't talk about it. They'll talk about all the other election things that happened. But that's the third rail for them. Like there's nothing wrong with that. There's no truth to that.
Well,
and so adamantly. Yeah. And I'm going, how can you be so adamant?
Well, I'm not. The thing is, I don't shy away from it at all because I'm not guessing. Because the people that I consult with aren't armchair experts. Most of the experts in my film had QSCI national security clearances, so the highest level. They have basically lifetime gag orders on you can't talk about X, Y, and Z because of the nuclear codes or whatever. So we have Jeff Lemberg in there, QSCI national clearance. Draza Smith, QSCI national clearances. These people know more about infrastructure, grid security, than any one of these political scientists on CNN telling me that they're right and we're wrong. But yet those experts are never highlighted by the right. And so you have this issue of the uniparty. Like, why is it that Fox News won't go and listen to people that can guard us from nuclear attacks? But all of a sudden, when it comes to elections, I just haven't seen anything. And they haven't seen anything because they're actually erecting barriers and walls to not see the evidence that we have.
Well, weren't they? They were sued by Dominion, right? As was Newsmax.
Yeah.
Everybody else that I know. You know, in fact, that brings me, the first time I heard, look, I was sitting in my living room or wherever we were, it was at our house watching that election in 2020. We all knew when they stopped counting, it was a jaw-dropping experience, and they came back and all the numbers were different. You know, I mean, I've been watching elections since I was a kid. It's never happened. You know instinctively something's not right here. So Sidney Powell was the first person that I heard stand up and kind of deliver this information, and it was jaw-dropping. And of course, she's paid a huge price for that. Sidney had a great reputation. She was a fighter from Texas, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They pretty much this is just my opinion. I think they pretty much destroyed Sidney's reputation as a national figure, as an attorney, made a fool out of her, really. And Dominion came after her too, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm actually very, very protective of Sidney for a couple reasons. Number one, prior to 2020, she was the gold standard when it came to appellate work.
Yes.
And her resume, it's like you can't go from being the gold standard to being crazy.
I know. I thank you for saying that. I feel the same way about her. I feel the same way.
And you know, so what you're up against is you're up against an intelligence agency or several. And that's the enemy. So if you believe that the intelligence agencies would subvert an honest election to do a soft coup, which I do, and I can back it up, then that also means they're not going to take a day off. They have to protect the cheat that they just devised. So Sidney's off to the races, basically has 3 weeks to put together some type of lawsuit, because you've got deadlines that are hard and fast.
Right, exactly.
And if you miss them, you don't get to challenge the election. So to think, like right now, the movie that I put out has the benefit of basically 3 years of intense research. And what I can tell people is that 95% of what Sidney put out is rock solid. And the 5% that might not be shouldn't be used to jettison her, because there's not a requirement under the law to have 100% accuracy when you don't know. So basically, she's got a deadline. I've got a file. And as long as you have a good faith basis for why you're filing it, you go back and forth with motions. Cases get whittled down. And by the time you get to trial, the only thing that's left are the things that you know have merit. Well, Sidney did release the Kraken. I mean, I want to say that. But you had 99% of the courts and the judges not hold evidentiary hearings. So it's like...
Wait, spell that out for the... does that mean,
okay,
David?
So in order to have your evidence heard, your case has to have standing. And it's a legal fiction. Basically, if you waited too long, we're going to say you can't bring your case. If you filed your case prematurely, we're not going to hear your case. And so when Sidney was filing these cases, it was kind of a sword and a shield. There was a case that was filed in October, and Judge Totenberg in the Curling case in Georgia said, it's not a question of whether or not Dominion will interfere in elections. It's just a matter of, you know, when. It's not if, it's when. But we're going to dismiss your case because your injury hasn't happened yet. You're telling us about vulnerabilities, but it's October of 2020. And until we actually see an actual hearing or see an actual injury, then sorry. So that was a perfect example of them saying no standing, case dismissed, while acknowledging there's a risk. Or if you wait 3 weeks after the fact, well, why did you wait 3 weeks after the fact? Now it's too late. It's too late. So they weren't even having an honest assessment of the merits themselves. They were creating this sword and shield effect to not deal with any lawsuit that was dispositive one way or the other about whether or not we had the wrong person installed. So as someone who personally analyzed 400 plus election fraud lawsuits, 99.9% of them, they didn't set for an evidentiary hearing. And the ones that they did, they set for 1 hour. Now, to put that into context, Sidney, one of her lawsuits, I think it was Arizona, if you looked at the full brief, it was about 400 pages. You had 22, 23 exhibits, expert reports. It's mind-numbing when you actually think about how much work they completed in 3 weeks. They set that for 1 hour. So if you and I know that you can't read a complaint that's 400 pages in 1 hour, how in the hell are you going to have expert testimony? And when you looked at the order, it was pre-written, because the very next day it was put out, and it was run in every single AP news rag across the country. So the setup was simple.
But the story is there was nothing to the accusation.
Yeah.
Not that all the things you just said.
They didn't allow the testimony to actually be ferreted out in the court of law. So what you saw here was a radical propaganda wing, censorship enterprise. We'll have two case holders, two token cases, set for 1 hour each, where it's not meaningful. And we're going to basically limit your ability to even present evidence. And based on headlines alone, everyone that went on MSNBC or CNN said, the judges said there's no evidence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. None of the courts, no one would hear this. There was no evidence whatsoever. That's their mantra, has been since that time.
So I've been shamed in similar ways. So I'm sensitive to Sydney. And I think Sydney basically was just right out the gate. She was a known name. And I basically kept fighting back and started doing audits and canvassing. So I would never let the bad guys have the last word. It's like, no, we're going to get to this. And I think the only reason why I'm still here and I still have some credibility is that they haven't been able to debunk the substantive findings that we've performed in test after test, audit after audit. So we're not guessing about the machines. We know how easily they can be subverted. And a lot of that's covered in the film.
David, wasn't there actually a documentary done by the left in 2015 or something? Mm-hmm. Chain something? Or what was that? But it was about the voter machines being manipulated. It was exactly as a documentary they did, because they didn't think that it was. I think it was Hillary's Alessi. I'm not sure.
It was Kill Chain.
Kill Chain.
And you had three names that they pull out. When I say they, I'm talking about the deep state. Harry Hursty, not a good guy. Philip Stark, not a good guy. And Alex J. Halderman, not a good guy. And I say this as, are they experts? Absolutely. But think of the timing. After Trump somehow got in 2016, documentary after documentary came out, a warning about the issues with the machines.
Right.
Because they knew.
Saying from the left, they were warning the country that there was going to be.
So Kamala Harris, right. Amy Klobuchar, Hillary Clinton, everyone's a machine person at that point. We got to get rid of the machines.
Yeah.
They were telegraphing because they thought Trump was going to use an executive order to seize the machines in 2020. And if he did it, they're going to say, whatever he's saying came out of those machines is because he took control of them. And we've been warning you for 4 years that he was going to rig this because he won't leave office. Well, in Trump's wisdom, he actually said, I'm going to put my faith in the American people that you all have to wake up. So he did not seize legitimate control. He could have seized the machines. Instead, he's like, you guys got to wake up. So he walked away. I don't think he walked away completely, but it was one of those things. He knew that the media had a stranglehold on the narrative.
Right.
Now, notice this. This is my point to the documentary. As soon as Biden was installed, who went away? Harry Hursty, Philip Stark, Alex J. Halderman. They only come out to help Dominion now. They only come out to help the machine vendors. They defend them now while they were the biggest critics when Trump was in office. So this is about narrative seeding. This is about having primacy. And basically, they had to go to a different contingency plan. When Trump didn't touch the machines and that, it's like, okay, well, let's forget we said that. But all of a sudden now, you'll notice that there's some news articles are coming out starting to talk about the machines potentially having problems now.
Yes.
Because they got to hedge their bets that, well, maybe Trump will do it this time.
We're talking with Professor David Clements, who lost his job at the University of New Mexico as a law professor. Again, highly esteemed because he would not bow the knee to the COVID narrative, would not take the vaccine, and would encourage his students not to take it. Amazing. And then, of course, he takes on this next extremely controversial issue, and that's voting machines in the 2020 election. He's got an amazing story, an amazing family. I loved my conversation with him, and we will finish it right after this. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Some of you are, you know, you have more finances than others. We're not all the same. Some of you are struggling, but others of you still have good resources. And if you have those kinds of resources, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, and that would reach 200 babies and their moms. To donate, just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right, now back to Texas. We were at the Film Fest in a suburb of Dallas about a month ago. And we conducted so many fascinating interviews, and one of them was Dr. David Clements, one of my favorites. We're talking about his movie called The 2020 Election. It's fascinating, and it continues right now. How can you quantify, aside from watching a full-length movie, how bad was it? I've heard explanations. Pat Kolbeck, Senator from Michigan, is really good on this, and he's a good friend, so I've had him on a lot. We've talked about it. Not that I fully understand it. It's just I have a general understanding. But how did the machines mess with us in 2020?
Okay, well, let's give an easy quantification. If you look at 74 million votes acquired by Trump, and you say that we're just going to say it's true, and we add that with 81 million votes that the media is saying is true for Biden, if you look at the voter turnout, they were telling you, it's about 65% turnout. And this was the first lie. They did an analysis where they were looking at all eligible voters. So anyone that was over the age of 18, whether you were a convicted felon, whether you're a legal immigrant, like that's how they got that number, which is kind of in line with historical trends of usually 57 to 65% voter turnout. But when you look at registered voters, and you add up 74 million with 81 million, you have 95% voter turnout. Impossible. You would never have a 30% deviation. So start there. That's an easy way to quantify that. There's no time in history that you could say that, but we had 95%. And that's why we can go to different jurisdictions.
Why hasn't nobody ever said that? Well, even if you don't believe the machines are part of the blame. They were partially to blame. We know there are other issues, but...
People do say it, but people that have platforms, our biggest enemy is a intelligence-backed media. Mm-hmm. And so we have to get better at discernment of where the third rails are. You've got people that will tell you the truth on 90% of the issues and do it in a more compelling way than anyone. But they avoid that 5 to 10% that they need to be talking about. And that's the biggest... signifier to me on whether or not they're really evil. So Fox News, ultimate third railers.
Yeah.
Some of the people in Conservative Inc. that are even a few tiers down, I don't trust at all. When your talking points for voter prescriptions match the deep states and the Democrats, like, go out and vote early. I'm like, I don't think so. I can go to the mat on why that's a terrible deep state prescription.
And now that's what the RNC has been preaching.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So as far as proofs, the strongest proof that why we know we're not guessing about machines being involved is this thing called a cast vote record summary. And those tabulators that we feed ballots through, they produce a record that's supposed to be produced pursuant to federal law that shows you basically how your votes were cast on election night. And so give you an example, and I'll give you a most random setup possible. Think of mail-in votes. It's totally random. It's supposed to be, not supposed to be sorted, where you are going to say, I want to use a mail-in vote, and you request it. Well, so do another 1,000 people, and everyone requests them at different time. They receive them at different times because of the postal route. They'll sit on the dining room table at a different time. You might fill it out. And when you send them back, you would expect to see a random pattern, because once you collect them as an election worker, you're going to submit those through the tabulators. So that's a cast. You can look at a cast vote record to see, okay, do I have a random pattern? So when we looked at the record, give you an example. You look at a ratio between Trump to Biden. We'll see the first batch of votes, and we'll look at it, and it's 90 for Biden, 10 for Trump. Like, okay, wow. Then the next batch of 100 comes in, and it's 89 for Biden, 11 for Trump. Then the next batch comes in, 88 for Biden, 12 for Trump. So you have a descending predictive pattern that's reaching a set point. Now, that's
impossible.
So the only way so you know there's no way that that can happen if you truly have a mail-in ballot thing. So what we're seeing is that this cast vote record is actually showing a what we call a PID control. So think of flying into Dallas's airport and everything's cloud covered and they put an autopilot land. So it's looking for the start of the runway. And there's a PID control that's basically governing certain instruments on the plane to make sure that it's at a 3-degree glide slope, and it's going to make sure it hits the front of that runway, because if you go too far, you're not going to be able to brake in time. Well, that same descending pattern is what we find in almost all of these cast vote records. And instead of the start of the runway, it's basically the selection.
From 2020.
And on. Now you can't get them because they won't give them to you. See, before they didn't think we could make sense of the cast vote records because they weren't sure that we knew what to look for. Well, we have, like I said, these QSEI national security mathematicians and experts are going, that's a PID control. It's a closed feedback loop system that's constantly correcting. And so as you get different data coming in from different sources, whether it's in-person, early voting, there's an algorithm at work that's trying to solve the math problem that is we the people.
Change the numbers so that it makes sense. It's not too much.
Yeah.
But so that you wouldn't discern it normally.
Yeah.
Normal people wouldn't discern it.
And there's certain things to make it look like it's more natural. So why do bad actors love early voting? Because they can actually create fake ballots that are real, organize them, and start stuffing those drop boxes. And so is that really a machine subversion? In a way it is, but it's not the way that people think of it when they watch a lot of these documentaries, like China's coming over and hacking them. It's really much more elegant than that, which is you've got absentee ballot tracking software that tracks how many ballots have gone out and how many have come in. Well, if you've got that information, you're like, I know the delta on how to overcome an honest candidate's turnout. They have all of that metric. So you literally have NGOs that have data coming in real time, and they can go, that's how many that Biden's got, that's how many that Trump's got, we know how many we need to stuff in the ballot box. So you if you have a long period of time, you can create and fill out those ballots. Sometimes you can just print them on demand printing and just start getting your batches, stuff them through the drop boxes with no surveillance, and that favors the cheat. But in certain areas where you can't, if you can't anticipate how excited people are to vote for Trump and how demoralized they are for Biden, sometimes the turnout on election is so great, it still screws with their modeling. And like,
which happened in 2016.
Yeah, so in all the states where you saw,
or 2020.
Stop coming in, stop counting, everyone go home.
Yeah, which is what they did.
They had to
but there's a plumbing problem.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
the...
So they had to reboot and create new set points, and in the dark of night, all these places like Atlanta, Ruby Freeman, Shay Moss, pulling cases out from on the tables. They had to match the digital subversion with real ballots. In Wayne County, they had van loads coming in with dollies coming out. And or in Pennsylvania, there's Jesse Morgan came over from New York with
the trucker.
Yeah, hundreds
right?
of thousands.
Yeah.
So it's a fully integrated system where they can kind of go in and cheat at any point that they want.
So 2020 was awkward because they didn't was it 2020 that was? Yeah, 2020 is when we were watching the election. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. The election's running in my... But, so that was awkward. That shutdown was awkward because they didn't expect Trump to do so well.
No, they didn't. You're
so they had to
correct.
Shut down and really adjust themselves quickly.
Well, the best way to look at it is like, okay, 2016, they had the same machines and software in place, but what did they not have? They didn't have the paper trail. And so for 4 years after 2016, they had to create a COVID scare to scare people into voting from home and to get really comfortable with mail-in ballots. So now they flooded the system with mail-in ballots. They finally had the paper trail to match the digital cheat. That's 2020. So now they're stuck. It's like, not only do we have to embrace it, now that people know that we're cheating, we're going to find 100 million votes for Kamala now? I mean, when you think about all the things that they have to do to convince we the people that our elections are free and fair and honest, they can't carry the day. I mean,
that's interesting. I'm glad you jumped to that, because of course I was going to ask you that. Really? I mean, see, I have this sense of inevitability that no matter what we do, they've got a way. You know, I expect, like, I mean, everything from a lot of my national security friends, you know, think there'll be some sort of an attack, a national emergency, and the election will have to be postponed because it's not safe to vote. You know, or I just expect something like that. Don't you expect something like that?
Well, that's the wise approach. I think
that's wise.
I don't think you're wrong. What I'm saying is that good guys and good actors and white hats, whether that's Trump or it's people like me that are more on the ground level, there's contingency plans. And then Team Evil has their contingency plans. We're constantly reacting to what the other side's doing.
Right.
And so in 2020, Trump didn't take the machines. They're like, all right, take those narratives that we had for 4 years, put them on ice, and let's spin up the next lie as a contingency against what they're doing. And so now it's sitting there going, yeah, they knew that Biden wasn't working, so they got him out. They basically appointed someone who wasn't on a ballot, who's now the nominee for the DNC, and she's getting pummeled. I mean, she's not looking good. So,
and neither is her running mate. Looks like someone called him Jazz Hands. I think that's a pretty good. You know, they're both failed candidates. But I kind of thought, I'm getting off the topic for you. I know I am. I just have to say this, David. But I thought, you know, Kamala, who would have thought they would choose her since she is such a horrible candidate, and they already knew that. And she's not very smart. And Tim Walz is like loopy, I mean, and has all these extreme policies. But I would say, I think it's because they knew they were going to win, that they've got it in hand, and these people are going to carry the water because she's from a communist background, and he too, you know.
So here's the divine intervention or silver lining.
Oh, I love this part.
Well, it's, you think about how aloof and stupid Biden has been, the single greatest red pill dispenser out of all the things that we talk about, because people are sitting there going, there's no way this guy. I don't understand math. I don't understand machines. I don't understand algorithms. There's no way that guy got 18 million more votes than, you
more
know,
than Obama.
Obama. That's where I'm going to. Now, so could you imagine if we would have had someone with the charisma and eloquence of a, you know, even though Obama's Satan reincarnated, we were spared having their best spokesperson in 2020. And the fact that we have Biden followed by Kamala Harris, like, it's actually helping awaken people. It's a gift.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a gift.
Well, yeah. Well, all right. Back to the voting machines, though, themselves. Yeah. Are you saying that there are enough blocks and counters? Circumstances have changed so much that they're not going to be able to get away with it in 2024?
No. I think there's a huge chance they get away with it. But here's where this is where my faith comes in. That this has got to be a divine rescue plan of a million patriots that aren't Trump, that have done their little thing to bring us to a place where we give ourselves a chance. And the best way that we give ourselves a chance is to do the exact opposite of what the RNC and the Republican Party are telling us to do. You want to talk about the death nail. The death nail is early vote, request a mail-in ballot, do all these things so they can smooth out all of their cheats and make it look palatable. Like, this looks like a more or less, the selection was run more or less fine because we couldn't observe things readily. So the more time that you have to vote and the more time you give yourself to count votes, they can smooth out the cheat.
Okay.
So the way that you win.
Yeah, so they can predict. Like, for instance, if a bunch of people vote early, which is what the RNC is telling them to do, then the other side will have a calculation of how much they have to come up with.
So and that may mean that Trump gets in, though. So let me explain that. one of my biggest fears is if the deep state was really smart, if they were really smart, we know we can't fool the American public into thinking that Kamala's beaten this guy, given how he's defeating everything we throw at him. But we want to keep our machines in place. And so maybe what we'll do is we'll learn our lesson. We'll surround them like we did in 2016 with twice as many swamp creatures. And down ballot, we're still going to select everyone. Because once we know he's out, you're never going to have a transformative candidate that can overwhelm and beat the machines. He's the one guy that it's possible to show so many cracks because he pulls from all these different buckets. He's got RFK Jr. endorsing Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah.
Unions, you know. So he's an anomaly. So what I'm trying to do is instead of you helping a system where they're actually going to create way more cheating based on your behavior, enabling them to smooth out stuff, force them to show their flaws. And the best way to have them show that they're cheating is to cram everything into election day. Everything. Because at that point, they have to start guessing. They have to start going, wait a minute, who's showing up? We don't have enough variables to account for in our formula. And if everyone shows up on election day, cracks will appear that will be bigger than the Grand Canyon. And you're going to have emergency, you know, plumbing issues across the country where water main break here, you got to go home here.
Deaths.
Threat this.
Yeah.
So if you want to have a black swan event, mm-hmm. have everyone show up on election day, then basically their contingency plan is World War III, and that might be what upends us. But if you bring this cheating to the surface, and there's a way to do that, and it's by going on election day, then you're gonna awaken enough people. So while some of us are cynical, and we saw what, you know, Carrie Lake's race in Arizona, a lot of people were going, well, what good did it do? She filed lawsuits and she didn't win. No, because the strategy was to vote on election day. Cracks manifested where lines were so long, they had configurations in the machines where 60% of them malfunctioned. Well, you know who that wakened up? Joe Rogan. When you had people that weren't with us,
right,
saying that election was rigged, you're awakening hearts and minds that you couldn't reach before. And
that's
case
a good
in
point.
Case in point, Elon Musk.
Case in point.
190 million followers. The largest social media account is saying what? Get rid of the machines. Get rid of mail-in ballots. 4 years ago, if you would have told me we would have Elon Musk by Twitter
with the
single largest platform.
I'm sorry, it's just stunning. It really is.
And say, guess what? We agree with the tinfoil hat guys Sidney Powell and Dave Clements.
Yeah.
So we're winning, but we're so used to suck.
It's because the loud voice of the megaphone we can't even miss what the mainstream, we can't mm-hmm. escape what the mainstream media is saying too much, even if we try, because they have such a strong megaphone. And
well, I think what's going to happen is November 5th, we're going to be in some form of civil war, but the collateral damage will be far less than it would have been 4 years ago because so many people have awakened.
Yeah.
So it's going to inoculate. And the same people that were scared to death of Antifa and all these transgender lunatics, they're not scared anymore. They're pissed off.
That's true.
And so I think it's going to be ugly for about 2 months, really ugly. But I think come January, you're going to see the greatest comeback ever. I really believe that.
David, I just pray you're right about that. Mm. One last question. So the Dominion has made the news a lot. They've been sued, and Smartmatic too, I think. So where are we with that? They're still going strong, still threatening people?
Yeah.
Or have we managed to mute their power?
In the court of public opinion, they have no power. Like, people know that Dominion's trash. They know ESNS is trash. They know Heart, InterCivic, Unison, all of the different vendors they have the same software design. So it's the same Smartmatic kind of software design template.
It's like the Arabella of voting machines, right?
Yeah.
You know about Arabella.
Yeah. So they've been figured out, and they've lied to us so many times, and we've caught them in so many lies that you can't unring the bell that the American people have heard. So that's one thing I'm so happy about is they came out swinging. None of our machines are hooked to the internet. Lie. Committed perjury. Well, we do actually have some things, and we found some chip modems, but they're not. But we turn them off. So they keep modifying the lie, right? So they're done, but they're going to utilize their strengths, which is lawfare, unlimited resources that are really subsidized off the backs of you and I, tax dollars that go for these contracts, then they have a war chest to sue us. So they're going to hold tight to the court system, and we have to hold tight to the court of public opinion. And over time, you're going to create what I call the Jacob Marley effect. You know, if you read, you know, Dickens, at some point, these officials need to hear the rattling chains of the American people. And it's happening.
Oh, I love that. You should write a movie or a book or an article by that name. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. anyway, David Clements, it's really been a pleasure. God bless you and keep you. And I think you've encouraged all of us. You've encouraged me, too, because I trust God, but I don't trust what's happening right now, you know. It's like a rodeo. It's like we're riding on a bronco, and we've got that little horn of the saddle, and hanging on and, you know, being bounced around. That's the way I feel about the news
right now. Hold on to your faith. So I'll leave you with this word of encouragement, because I know you need it, because I need it. I'm not doing what I'm doing. I didn't make this movie because somehow, like, my background just equipped me for it, you know, trial attorney, professor. I had a supernatural event on January 6th that challenged me on every level. And so it's something, again, that I can't prove to you objectively happened, but the Lord is working through his people. And there's this great call in the film to national repentance. And it's not a throwaway. When I say we have to repent as a nation, it's not like this idea, find God and let's do our church thing. No. The question that your audience needs to ask themselves, that you need to ask yourself, is this. Why is it that you got a small, still whisper on November 3rd and you're like, something's wrong, and yet 3 weeks later, your brother-in-law at Thanksgiving said Trump belongs in jail? Or why is it that you didn't get the jab and someone else in the family got the jab? That's Holy Spirit revelation. It's not because you're smarter. It's not because I'm smarter. And so people better start asking themselves, why did God give me a little bit more intelligence on what was going on around me ahead of the curve? Because I think if we actually fulfill this call for national repentance, whereas a nation we say we have missed the mark and God, we're sorry, I think it's the only time you can really move God Almighty from the throne room. He walks to the courtroom of heaven. He's got a little gavel. And when that gavel comes down, he gives massive revelation. And so you're going to have millions of people, if we actually fulfill those conditions, where all of a sudden their hearts and their minds could see the obvious that we've been, you know, hitting our head against the wall, trying to plead with people. It's not going to be a challenge. But they have to be confronted with their own sin and how they've screwed our country over. And when we, the people, confront them with their maladministration and God comes in at a providential time, you're going to have something that's akin to 1776. It's going to happen.
Okay, David Clements. The movie is called 2020 Election. And again, we are at the 1A Film Fest. 1AFilmFest.com is where you can stream all of these movies. And David's is just, I didn't get to see it, so I can't say this, but Bruce was in the movie on my behalf while I was out here working. No, I'm kidding. No resentment. No, I'm kidding. But Bruce was just blown away, and he's not an easy sell. So this is one of the many movies, but this is David's product, and you can tell from his conversation he knows what he's talking about, and this is something that you will want to see. Well, thank you for listening to this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from the morning show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes that we have decided to re-engage with the daily news on Sandy Rios 24/7 as we once did in the mornings. I want to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. Just go to AFR.net or any podcast platform. You can also find Sandy Rios 24/7 at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, a fun thing. My book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now on Audible. Sometimes listening is better than reading. I recorded it in my own voice, which makes it even more personal for all of you who know me so well. Audible books are available on Amazon.com. God bless each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Him. My prayer is that as we stand together in this battle, we can finish well.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
I keep hearing that the system is unhackable. This is wrong. Everything is hackable. Always.
These are just computers. We call them voting machines. But they're nothing more than obsolete computers.
Wow. Yes. Casper, do we want for admin?
Yes. Awesome. Success.
We are in.
It's not just about hardware. It's the hardware of our democracy.
Thank you for voting.
When people say no votes were changed, it misses the point. What matters is that you create chaos in the election system.
We tend to see these events as random and disconnected. But in fact, there's a pattern you can see. In cyber warfare, it's called a kill chain.
We may be buying the world's best 20th century military when the battlefront in the 21st century is election security, cybersecurity.
In order for us to find a way forward, we have to understand how broken the system is and what are the fundamental problems we are facing.
Well, as we prepare for the election coming right up, it's something to give thought to. And there are people working on this diligently. You know, so many American people have stepped up to the plate to try to clean up our elections. And certainly we have a ton of corruption. And we know that whoever is going to, you know, in some areas of the country, they're going to be misusing the voting machines and other things, among other things. But there are people that are watching, trying to stop it everywhere. And so I salute them. Some of them are our heroes. Many of them have been guests on this show. I think of Cleta Mitchell, and now we've met David Clements, and his contribution with his movie, The 2020 Election, is a great one. So, all right, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You know how to contact us. You can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform. AFR.net is home base, but you can listen on Spotify or Apple or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. And you can, of course, listen on the website, sandyrios.com. You can find us on social media. And before I leave you today, I want to thank our sponsors, especially Timothy Plan. It's a place where you can put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/sandy. That's timothyplan.com/sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to this great edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.